Hey, everybody, it's Nicole Byer here with some hot takes from Wayfair. A cozy corduroy sectional from Wayfair? Yeah, that's a hot take. Go on and add it to your cart and take it. A pink glam nightstand from Wayfair? Scalding hot take. Take it before I do. A mid-century modern cabinet from Wayfair that doubles as a wine bar? Do I have to say it? It's a hot take. Get it at Wayfair.com and enjoy that free shipping too.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
It's Pro Savings Days at Lowe's. Get up to 35% off select major appliances and save an additional $1,000 when you buy four select LG major appliances. Plus, get a free DeWalt 20-volt max 5-amp-hour battery when you buy a select DeWalt 20-volt max tool. Get the job done for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/26. Selection varies by location. While supplies last. See associate or Lowe's.com for more details and qualifying items.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
You're locked into Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss podcast powered by Riverland Roofing and featuring Ben Garrett and Billy Embody of Rebel Grove.
Hello again, everybody. Welcome inside, at least for me, Ben Garrett of Rebel Grove. Sign up today for $1 and a food at home three. The Riverland Roofing Studios, also Modern Woodman. For any financial needs, hit up my guy, Drew Horn, at 662-416-7 or 3739. That's 662-416-3739. David.A.Horn at MWARep.org. Here in New Albany, he can help you out with any of your financial needs. I know he's helped me out, so let my guy help out for you too. He used to help out the Ole Miss baseball program. He was a manager back when he was at Ole Miss. With the Lance Lynn's in them. So, you know, nice little connective tissue there for you as we bring Clem in. What's up, Clem? How we doing?
Nice job tying that all in.
You're welcome. See, that's why I'm a pro's pro.
I'm a professional segue.
Yes, that's why I make the big bucks. How are you? What's going on?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. What's going on right now over there at Ole Miss Baseball?
We are finishing up skill instruction. We start official fall ball next Friday. I think that's the 26th. We'll inter squad for the first time and get things officially kicked off. But been going at it pretty good for the last month or so.
Yeah, and y'all been going hard in recruiting specifically. You can't speak about guys that have recently committed or anything, but had a run of commitments. Specifically about the recruiting piece for people who don't know and don't follow it necessarily like they maybe do football or even basketball. The baseball recruiting piece, kind of what is it like operationally for y'all? What's the success been like so far? What's the response been like off of last year? All that kind of stuff. What's the recruiting update as far as how Ole Miss baseball is and where it is right now?
Yeah, a little bit different than a couple years ago, not to get bogged down or bore anybody, but we used to just be able to go watch kids that were 14 or 15 years old, embarrassing to say, and get those guys at a super young age. The way baseball has gone now is we cannot have any contact with a guy, either them contacting us or us contacting them. We cannot speak to anyone until August 1 going into their junior year. So a month ago or 6 weeks ago, we were able to start calling rising juniors, and then we can start to have them on campus for visits starting September 1 of their junior year. And so obviously, like with most sports, I'm sure our visits are geared around football games. And so we had that first football game, home football game against Georgia State, I think it was, but that was still in August. So we couldn't have anybody in that weekend. So our first big one was this past weekend against Arkansas, and then another huge one with a bunch of visitors coming in next week for LSU. You know, when you ask kids what games they want to come to, they usually pick the SEC games. And so we've had a great response. You know, we've had a bunch of really good players in last weekend, and we'll have a bunch in next weekend as well. But it's gone well. Obviously, I think we talked about it. I don't know if it was on this or just on the phone, but certainly coming off of a a 43-win season and hosting a regional and having the success that we had on the field statistically. And we've gotten a great response and feel really good about where we're at with this 2027 class.
I was going down as the final minutes of Arkansas Ole Miss was happening, a 41-35 win for Ole Miss football. I was going down and heading toward once T.J. Dottery punched the ball out, got the strip, going to Lane's press conference right there in the Manning Center, see Carl pulling up on a golf cart, say, what's up, what's going on, Carl? It's been a minute. What are like what are y'all's visits like, right? If Ben Garrett were coming in for a visit with Ole Miss baseball, what all are y'all doing for them on a game day visit? What will those many visitors that you'll have for LSU, kind of how will y'all host them, and what do y'all try to do to kind of, get them interested in, yeah, and potentially committing and stuff like that?
For the longest time, we couldn't have guys in on an official visit until their senior year. Mm-hmm. And so really the official visit was more of a reward. They were already committed. Mm-hmm. We bring the whole class in. Everybody's committed. Now it's completely changed where we're actually recruiting the guys we bring in on an official visit. So we typically bring them in. They get to Oxford on Thursday night. The hard thing with us is it's all geared around the football game, but oftentimes because of TV, we don't know the start, the kick time until, you know, whatever that is, 10 days, 2 weeks out. Well, those visits are already lined up. So we like to bring them in on Thursday night, not do anything on Thursday, but then we have all day Friday where they're able to come watch us work out, watch our practices, knock out campus tours and some academic things and tour our facility, and then make Saturday more about the football game where they're able to experience the Grove, hang out with our guys a little bit, see the football game and the pageantry and all of that. And clearly, and I think I would speak for Chris Malloy or Chris Beard or whoever on campus of the other sports, when football's good, it's good for everybody. And so, kids are excited about coming on visits, and you get those, that small fraction of recruits that are famous recruits or whatever you want to call them, that really have no clue where they want to go. You have some guys who know they want to come to Ole Miss, or it's us or Mississippi State, or it's us and LSU or whatever it is that, you know, you have a real shot at. But then there's an element of guy that has no clue where he wants to go, and he wants to go to the coolest places and see cool football games. But then it's your job when they get on campus to make them fall in love with this place. And so football being good certainly helps that a ton when they're on the sideline before the game and they get to see guys warm up. They get to see the atmosphere inside the stadium. You know, I've been here long enough to be through some good football seasons and some bad football seasons. And from our standpoint, it's just so much different when you take those kids onto the sideline before the football game and there's 45 minutes till kick and the student section's already full and there's a buzz inside the stadium. And like I said, I've been here on the down years too, where the student section never fills up, or it's, you know, connect the dots in the stands where maybe the atmosphere isn't quite as good. And so it makes a huge impact. And it's why everybody across the country, obviously football drives athletic departments from a financial standpoint. And that's the same almost everywhere, certainly everywhere in our league. But the details of it really, really matter. You know, you see guys like last weekend with their phones out and, you know, whatever the guys do, I seem like the old guy now, whether it's TikTok, Snapchat, whatever, they're putting videos out and sending it to their friends and all of that. And you can sense the real buzz, in the stadium, and it certainly helps us out with recruiting. So it's a fun weekend, busy, but really fun.
If you had to pick one Ole Miss baseball player, and you can't pick Austin Simmons, you can't do that. He's not a part of Ole Miss baseball anymore. That'd be the easy pick to go out there and bet on them being able to actually pick up football and be pretty good at it. Because I've had this conversation with Judd Uitermark. He'd be my pick because I feel like I could move him anywhere. I could put him at tight end, at edge. And Judd being Judd was like, oh, yeah, I could go out there and do that. He was like, of course I could. You know what I mean? Like, he's, look at that face you're making. Well, you know what I'm saying? Judd thinks he could get out there and get it if he needed to.
Physically, the way he looks, he should be over there. Mm. Here's the thing that people, you know, Judd had a great year last year. For 2 years, he wasn't healthy here. And so I think he's going to run down on kickoff the very first play of the game. And Dr. Luber is going to be out there at like the 48-yard line looking over him. And then, you know, he's out 3 weeks with some sort of sprain or whatever. So he's one of those guys that would probably live in the training room over there, but physically he looks like he should be able to hold up over there. I hope. Yeah. I'm saying this with the complete expectation that someone is sending, clipping this out and sending it to Judd. That is a major question 2-3 times a year in our dugout. Yeah. Like, hey, who could go over there and play? And it was really fun when we had like Ely and Plumlee, Taiwan Malone, Simmons, when those guys were actually in the dugout and making fun of guys who said, yeah, I could go, you know, Peyton Chatagnier is like, I could go walk on and play cornerback. And it's like, Peyton,
come on, man.
What are you talking about?
You're like 5'8", dude, chill.
That's right.
Come on. Well, one guy, I bring it up not just to talk about Judd and mess with Judd, but also because I was thinking of a guy like Daniel Pacella, who's built like just an absolute monster. And other newcomers that you – what have you seen from them so far, how they've ingratiated themselves, not just Pacella, but, you know, Tristan Bisettia, the transfer outfielder from Clemson. There's so many guys that older guys that you're bringing into an already contender, relying on them, of course, but it's different than last year when, man, if these guys don't hit, right. I mean, these guys can just come in and be themselves and not have to shoulder any you know more weight than they necessarily have to. What have you seen from those guys?
Yeah, you brought up two of the three that I would mention right off the top of my head. So part of the skill instruction component of what we're doing is live at bats versus pitchers, because pitchers are trying to build up for fall ball. And so the most fun part for me is watching live at bats versus pitchers. So kind of a simulated game. If people follow Major League Baseball and they see the clips of, you know, Otani rehabbing and throwing to a live hitter before BP or something like that early in the day. We've been doing those for the last month for a portion of our day. Pacella the other day was 4-for-4 with 3 home runs and a double. So he really swung it well. It was his best day. Maybe our most consistent guy of everyone has been Bisetta. And so in the recruiting process, he may have gotten overlooked a little bit. He got hurt last year and didn't have any at bats after like April at Clemson. And he's been awesome. He has been awesome. I've been pleasantly surprised. I knew that there was big power there, but been pleasantly surprised with just how he takes an at bat and his swing decisions and the pitches that he's swinging at. He's been terrific. And then the third guy that I would mention is Dom Decker. Completely different player than those first two. And we've talked about this before, but he kind of adds an element of what we were missing. Probably he is just going to grind at bats, you know. Townsend, who were counting on big time with the elite stuff on the mound, they faced off last week. And he had like a 10 or 11 pitch at bat and walked against him. And so I think he's a huge piece of being able to grind out at bats, more cut out of the Federico mold. And so I think we have a really good mix of power and slug mixed in with those guys, the Randalls, the Federicos, the Deckers, that are really going to make our offense go. So those are the three that stick out in my mind. And there's been others too. The other guy who's off to a really good start that's showed consistently good at bats is Topher Jones, who was at Mississippi State a year ago right now, left Mississippi State at semester and had a great year in junior college and has come in and not really missed a beat. And he's been really good for us also.
What's kind of like the points of emphasis for individual skill instruction for guys specifically like Owen Pano, yeah. Kay Townsend, Hayden Federico. Owen really struggled. Kay had some success. Hayden had early success, but he had his ups and downs too there toward the end. So for this time as coaches, how do you plan that out? And what's kind of like the design for those kind of guys?
Yeah, it's kind of different with each guy. And so, you know, with some of the freshmen, it's get your feet wet and see kind of how our system is implemented and all of that. But with the guys specifically that you brought up who know the system and know what to expect as far as the expectations for us and how we do different things, it really is individualized. You know, with certain guys, we're looking to add bat speed, power, and just not necessarily with a guy like Federico, not necessarily power, like hit the ball out of the yard a bunch, but like how can you impact the ball? you know, how can we get the exit velocity up and still keep you a really good hitter? And so this is a unique time in that we get them individually. They're coming out in groups of three or four guys. And so you can really coach the individual, and then you move into the team component of it, and it's more team stuff, right? Like bunt coverages and first and third defense, and we get into more of the team aspect of it. But I think from an individual standpoint, this month that we're in right now is vitally important just for the individual skill part of it. And so both defensively and offensively, we get to be a little more micro with how we're coaching them, just coming out in groups and going from, you know, from a coaching standpoint, going from noon until 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon, but they're coming out in short windows. But you can get really specific with them. So we try to have an individual plan for each guy for this month before we get into the team component of it. And I think it's vital. I think it's really important.
With Owen, what was like for him? He went through the Greg Kessinger freshman year, Thomas Dillard freshman year. It was a struggle. So for guys like that, y'all have been through it before. What are the conversations with him and kind of how did what led to Gray and Thomas being able to bounce back and have such big second years? They give you encouragement about a guy like Owen following the same kind of trajectory.
Yeah, it happens, right? Unfortunately, probably that's more the rule than it is the exception. Mm-hmm. You know, you get those guys more than you get the Jacob Gonzalez, who's just a freak all the way through and is a great college baseball player. And so, very honestly, I think it's more getting the confidence back. There's a lot of psychological component to it, mm-hmm. as far as building that guy back up, and have him have the confidence that he had when he was 15 years old and was the best player on his New York high school team. 'Cause certainly the ability is there. But I think those things are married. I think those things go together where, hey, can we get the sustained success on the field? Can we tweak some things to physically make him a better player that will help instill the confidence that maybe, frankly, specifically with Pano, that he may have lost a little bit, you know, just because of the way his season went was a little bit different, where, you know, early in the SEC series, you know, with Arkansas, where that we started off, you know, he kicks a ball and at a vital time. And so, man, that's a knock on confidence. And our sport is so much built on confidence and in between the ears that you want to build that part of it back up too. And we've all seen guys that maybe physically, when you watch them, it's not the most aesthetically pleasing swing or arm stroke or whatever. But if those guys are confident and think they can do it, they will. You know, I think of long time ago, Will Golson, you know, kid from New Hope, who like wasn't like a super famous player, but maybe, you know, is in the top five in Ole Miss history and like at bats, just played all 4 years here. And if you watched him take batting practice, it was nothing. You weren't going to like highlight his name on our roster if you came and watched him take BP, which you did a bunch. But then you watch him play the game because he was so confident. And he was a great baseball player. And then the reverse is also true, where it's, man, you go watch BP and this is the most beautiful swing. Kemp Alderman is a freshman. Like you could watch, you know, get a glass of lemonade and sit there and watch him take BP all day. But from a confidence standpoint, he wasn't quite there yet. And then obviously went off and had a great career here. So I think there's a real balance there specifically with OP that we're trying to do to get him back where he's going to be.
Kemp is now knocking on the door of Major League Baseball. It's awesome to see so many former Rebels are doing great things in Major League Baseball. So, yeah, Kemp's a great story and a good example of kind of what I was getting at with Owen. You can't read too much in the freshman year. Some just deal in the muck. I asked you about this last week or whatever it was, about the schedule and how tough it was and this, that, and the other. Now that you and the staff have had time to digest it, it's pretty salty, man. But what is the overall just thoughts about how it came out and the challenge ahead for y'all?
I don't know if I digested it yet. And frankly, Ben, like this time of year, it always looks really hard.
Yeah.
And so I just, it's like pinned up on my bulletin board back here. And I just try not to flip around and look at it. Like I'll worry about that later. And, you know, our two common opponents, at least from a baseball standpoint, are always good. It's Mississippi State and Arkansas. So, you know, they're going to be on there. You're going to travel to one. You're going to get one at home. And then, you know, with the new SEC, with Oklahoma and Texas being there, it is. You're right. Like, it's so much about the five teams that you miss. The hard part in baseball is probably, with the exception of one school, like, if you told me South Carolina, who I think finished 15th in our league last year, if you had the crystal ball and you said, hey, they're going to host a regional this year, I'd be like,
sure.
It makes sense. And so you never really know. Like, I guess there's probably a couple schools that you know they're going to be good. And then there's a school or two that you know probably won't be. And then everything else in the middle, it's like, I don't know. But depends on when you get them and how they're playing at that time. And that sounds such like coach speak, but, but it's really the truth. Like, in my experience in 11 years here, you know, it, you never know from really from day to day. You just hope you catch them at the right time. Like, I remember the run we made in 22, we caught LSU down there at the end of the year and we swept them down in Baton Rouge. And a huge part of us sweeping them was Jacob Berry, who's the eighth pick of the draft, had broke his finger the week before. And so we don't have to pitch to Dylan Cruz. We just walk him every time because Berry's not hitting behind him. And, you know, it helped us sweep a series. So it's so much about when you get them, how they're playing at that time, what the injuries look like, all of that. I say all that to say, you know, we all have enough stress in our life that in September, why try to break that schedule down?
Unless
your reporter buddy calls you and says, hey, what do you think of the schedule? And you think he needs a quote or something. Oh, it's really tough. The SEC is great. And you just say what you think you're supposed to say.
Well, also the, it was going to lead to my last question, which going into last year and this year, the confidence is much different. So regardless of what people think of the schedule, and it is a tough schedule if you look at it on paper, this team coming off of 43 wins and adding the power potential with Daniel Pacella, Tristan Bassetta, we could keep going on with the additions and how last year played out. There, you've talked about this before, but the renewed sense of who y'all are. Like, this is a different confidence compared to, yeah, you're confident every year you're going into fall ball. Last year y'all were confident, but this is different. This feels like how it used to feel, right? How it's supposed to feel on a year-to-year basis.
No question. And I don't remember where I was. It was like in town and someone asked me about it. Like, and it starts with Elliot, right? Like, when you have what I think is the best Friday starter in the conference back, that's a pretty, it feels pretty good. But I was out somewhere. I can't remember where I was. And someone was like, you know, what do you think? Saw the schedule came out. I was like, well, we got Elliot on Friday and he's a big piece of the puzzle. And whoever it was said to me, a piece of the puzzle. He is the puzzle, and they're not wrong. So, you know, with that kid on the mound, all 40 people associated, you know, that are coming to work or dressing in that locker room, they think we're, you know, hey, we got those 14 weeks of the regular season. So you got 14 wins knocked out with him running out there on Friday. So, but that is the feeling. And so, you got a bunch of power back, like you said, in the lineup. You've added some pieces. So certainly there's a lot of confidence. But I say a little bit of that joking, but when you have a guy like that in years past, whether it was Nikhazy and Hoagland or whoever it's Rollison or whoever those guys have been that run out there on Friday that we've had, DeLucia at the end of 22, man, they're – when it starts that, it's really hard to have success in our league without that person, whoever that person is. And we have that person. And so, and I'm not even scared to put that on him. Like, if he were sitting right here.
Yeah. He'd want you to, he'd say, why, what, tell him the truth. You know what I mean?
That guy, I wish I could get with his parents and say, like, how did you parent him into that? But like, I'm going to guess he's had that since he could walk. So, every time I watched him when he committed to us when he's 15 years old, every time I went down, whether he was playing for the Louisiana Knights or he was playing for Tupelo High School, that guy walked out there like he was Greg Maddux, like he Sandy Koufax, probably a better example because he's left-handed. But like, it is complete confidence that he's going to win. And all of our fans know that because they've seen him pitch, and that guy's been here 4 years. And the 2 years he's pitched, we've been pretty stinking good. And the 2 years he hasn't, we haven't been very good. And so there's a lot of reasons for that, but that's the main reason. And so he's back and we feel good about that.
Well, you got him for one more year. Who could be the next guy that could be that Friday night anchor for y'all that y'all can't live without? If you had to pick guys that you think have that kind of upside, I've been saying Kate Townsend just is right. I mean, it's an obvious pick, but like it was some guys that you would throw out there.
Townsend has as good a stuff as anybody on our team. It's really good stuff, and I would expect him to make a big jump. The other guy that has completely stuck out is Will Libert, another left-hander transfer from Missouri. Again, don't want to put too much on anybody but Elliott, but, man, he has been not fun to face as a hitting coach. So, I think he's got a chance to be special also. So, it's as deep as we've been. I think we're at least 12 deep on the mound of guys who can really pitch. And so, it's exciting. So, if Coach Mangrum doesn't screw it up, I think we got a chance to be really good on the mound.
I love that. Jake, I got to get Mangrum on this podcast, man, just to return fire to my guy Clem. It's Mike Clement, Ole Miss hitting coach. This has been Talk of Champions, brought to you by Riverland Roofing, 662-644-4297, riverlandroofing.com. You're the man. Thank you, brother. I'll see you soon, and we'll do it again.
Have a great day.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Super Sale and get 40% off paints and stains September 19th through the 24th. With prices starting at $29.39, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key, and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.